Thank you, music team. Beautiful worship. Oh, sorry. That was a bit of a breathing exercise right there. Hallelujah. How's everybody this morning? Doesn't seem like it. Some people are not sure if they're okay or they're not okay. I'm very well, thank you. I'm excited about the Word of God. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Hallelujah. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, families. Welcome all you visiting us this morning. And those of you who are part of the furniture, we welcome you. And those who are watching on our live stream this morning, we want to say welcome. Those in Blackwater, the family in Blackwater, in Mackay, Brisbane. There's a few around Cairns area, and then a lot of us in PNG as well. So we're excited about that. And so we want to welcome you. I pray that God's word will inspire you and ignite your walk with him this morning. Hallelujah. Papa God, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Papa God, I thank you. I pray that you speak to your people this morning. God, this is just, I'm just unctioning your word. That's from your word, which is in our constitution called the Bible. Father, I thank you that you hide me from your people. That, Lord, they hear your word and your word alone. Nothing else, oh God. Holy Spirit, I pray that you empower your word and watch over it to fulfill it in everybody's life this morning. That it shall not come back void, oh God. It shall accomplish everything that you have set forth for it to do. Thank you, Lord, that your word is everlasting to everlasting. Your word is life, Lord. Your word will go on forever. The old earth will pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. But your word will continue forever, oh God. Lord, we thank you for your word. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. In Yeshua's mighty name, I pray. Everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Well, welcome, my family. We haven't actually stopped from the actual trend that I've been on for the last 2 weeks. And I just wanted to share something that our brother Paul and I were sharing today. And he gave a quote, which is really powerful. It says, to be saved is the miracle of the moment. But he said, but to be holy is the task of a lifetime. Hallelujah. Holiness is the task of a lifetime. It's something that I'm just so empowered by the revelation of walking in righteousness and holiness with God, because every time we abide by his word, miracles, signs and wonders, or blessings happen in our life. Hallelujah. And it's really important for us to understand that in the season we live in now, it is a must that we must abide by his word. It should not become just another cliche in your life anymore, abiding by the word. It has to become your life. Hallelujah. Retaining and persevering in the truth of God's word. We are people that have already shifted. Amen? If you're still shifting, what's wrong with you? Shift now. Last year was already gone. You're now supposed to be thinking like a shift person. I want to start this message this morning by introducing you to you a few questions. Now, these are very, very common questions, but they're valid questions that every one of us have asked questions like that. I have too. And I want to bring those questions to you, but I don't want you to answer it. I want you to ponder on it and answer it at your own time as I'm releasing the message this morning. Number one, do you sense that there must be more to Christian life than you are experiencing? Hallelujah. Have you ever felt, number two, the terrible frustration of not being able to find victory over your flesh and the stubborn sin in spite of the new covenant that you just took, the covenant of the communion? In spite of all that, you're still being defeated. Why? Hallelujah. So these are questions that we must answer. And I pray that you answer these questions this morning. Have you ever felt, number three, ashamed or shameful because you aren't able to carry the love you feel for God during worship throughout the week? Are you just a worshiper for Sunday? Or are you a person that worships God throughout your life? Is worship part of your lifestyle? Hallelujah. Or do you come to church and look around and watch people? Just become being entertained by people? These are questions that you have to answer. And if you have had, number four, your heart for God ripped out and stomped by church legalism, all of us have. That's a question we must answer. Number five, have you ever felt the frustration of trying to reconcile your spiritual life with your secular life? Good question to answer. Number six, have you ever been fed up feeling that church has become nothing more than an entertainment and programs and yet another random sermon that you're going to hear today that you're going to forget by Tuesday? Are you ever feeling like that? Is this your lifestyle? Is it what you come to church to be? Is it what you're watching this morning on live stream? Is this all you're going to have? It's just getting a nice sermon and forgetting that by Tuesday or Monday. Hallelujah. Serious questions we might answer. And then, this is really important for us. If you can identify any of these feelings, then you haven't given up hope yet. I got a good news for you today. I'm going to bring you some good news. Some key principles that you may think it's so hard to operate in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Whatever your age and however long you have been in a Christian, there's a much deeper and much more satisfying spiritual life in Christ. When you become a, listen to me, disciple, not a Christian, a disciple. Hallelujah. Today, we're going to separate the sheep from the goats. And you're going to pick and choose which side you are. Are you a goat or a sheep? I'm not here to please your ears and tickle your ears with some nice sermon that you're going to forget by Tuesday. These are principles of the Word of God that we must receive today. Answer these questions now and you become victorious in your walk with Christ. Hallelujah. First, let me tell you the number one problem. Everyone, including pastors or previous churches you've been to, or Christian radio or Christian magazine or some nice, best-selling author, maybe telling you something. Your pastor may say, this was the area to focus on today. That'll make you change your life. Or a teacher on a Christian radio may say, this was the real secret of victory in Christ. Or your friends may say, this is the real victory in Christ. This is how you do it. Or a best-selling author, like I said, may write a book about answers to everything to become victorious in Christ. Well, let me give you a simple answer this morning, my friend. If you are a person that is always searching for high-powered revelation, listening to me very carefully, you are going to miss everything that Christ has brought to us. If you're somebody that wants to be changed because some high-powered revelation that was preached by a prophet or a pastor, and you always go searching for that kind of stuff, you're going to miss out on everything that Jesus wants you to become. Hallelujah. He is the master key to deeper and much more satisfying spiritual walk in Christ. John chapter 7, verse 16 to 17. You go, Pastor, is that it? Yes, this is it. Hallelujah. John chapter 7, verse 16 to 17. It says, Jesus answered and said to them, my doctrine is not mine, but his. Hallelujah. Who? God's who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak my own authority. Hallelujah. Right there, my friends, in those tiny words in red that you always skim past to find some nice revelation. On the four Gospels, hallelujah. In your Bible, in the constitution we call the Bible, the secret you've been searching for, the revelation, this revelation should hit you right now like fresh water after a long walk in the desert. If you don't get it this morning. Hallelujah. Jesus is saying that if you want to actually experience God personally, you and I needed to what? Intentionally, the word, intentionally learn and practice his teachings, which is what? God's will. This is not just some service to come and listen to God's word. This is time to practice God's purpose and principles in your life. Young people, listen to me. Young people who are students this morning, listen to me more stronger than your parents this morning. Open your heart and your ear. I'm talking to you this morning. Because this season is not going to be the same season that you've lived the day you were born. it is going to be a tough day for us in the kingdom of God. And you say, wow, Pastor, is that it? Yep. Yes, it is a simple, straightforward, just like sliced bread. Hallelujah. It is so simple. John chapter 17, verse 7 says, now they know that all things which you have given me are from you. In a prayer to the Father, Jesus said to his disciples, they knew him with certainty that his words were from God because they obeyed him. Hallelujah. It is clear that Jesus promises to honor our intentional obedience. I talked about obedience last week. I have not finished on this subject because it is so important for us to understand people who are walking in obedience, to separate ourselves from everybody else, the sheep from the goat. Hallelujah. Jesus' words, his teachings and his manifestation presence will always be with us if we become people of application. Hallelujah. Jesus says, he who has my commandment and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. I shared this scripture before. I had to share it again. Jesus' words were as relevant to his disciples then, and it is to us today. Very relevant and fresh. Now, everything that Jesus spoke to his disciples is exactly what he's speaking to us today. Why am I still on this? Because no amount of fresh revelation, listen to me, can change you until you become a disciple of his teachings. Not just a Christian. Listen to me very carefully, hallelujah. No amount of revelation, high-powered or low-powered, any kind of revelation will not change you until you become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Not just a Christian. The world and the church is full of Christians. We are here now, today, to separate the goats from the sheep. This is why I'm going to speak strong and straight to you. We are not here to please anybody. I am not afraid of what you think about me or what your preconceived ideas about me. I don't really care. Why? I know only God cares about me. And my accountability to God is higher than yours. Why? I stand here on this pulpit to speak to you today. And it is important that we all must not just use this platform as something that we must abide by, but where you're sitting right now, what you're receiving right now, is as important as you're standing here releasing the Word of God. Hallelujah. Jesus' words were so relevant. If you always love reading the Bible, that is great, but it doesn't stop there. It goes beyond just reading the Bible. It goes into application of the Word of God. Hallelujah. A disciple of Christ lives and thinks differently from a Christian. Somebody say amen to that. Don't be shy. You are allowed to shout and scream, amen, Pastor. It is time for us to now think like disciples of Jesus Christ. Yes, it is time. Hear his words. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20, he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything, not just some things, everything that I have commanded you. From the beginning, Jesus told his 12 disciples to go and make disciples of all the nations. Not just Christians, not to make them Christians, or not to just make them believers. Because the devil believes also. All the demons believe also. There are people who believe in Jesus, but live like the devil. And this is why we must now, today, differentiate us from being just a Christian or just a believer to a disciple of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the New Testament, the word Christian appears only, what, 3 times? Read your Bible very carefully. And the word believers appear only, what, 20 times? But you listen to how many times the word disciple appears. 282 times in the Bible. Jesus continues to call us disciples. Disciples are disciplined ones that abide by his word. Not just Christians. A Christian, a person is a Christian name is a name tag given to us by the pagans. Jesus never wanted you to be a Christian or just a believer. He wants you to what? Be a disciple of everything that he commands us to do. Hallelujah. These 12 people that he transferred himself to, They all duplicated all that to us. You and I sitting right here today, we're the disciples of Jesus Christ. Every one of us. If you're just a Christian, today is a day that you will transfer from that to become the true follower of Jesus Christ. And you cannot do that except by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Think how inappropriate it would be for many Christians to call themselves disciples. The Bible holds, listen to me, holds no place for believers or anybody who's just a Christian. This is seen in Jesus' teachings in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 27, and Luke chapter 6, verse 46, and John chapter 8, verse 31 to 36. I'm just breezing through these scriptures so that you can go back and listen, get them, and study them. This is part of our discipleship training. If you're a person that lives on YouTube and listen, following YouTube preachers, this is the time to change. Hallelujah. Because there are so many false teachers out there teaching today, bringing everything that is false to you. The missing piece of this puzzle is obedience. You cannot lose by obeying Jesus Christ. You cannot lose anything by obeying Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus commands, his commandment is not telling us some nice words. He says, I command you to what? Obey everything that I tell you to do. Every teachings that he put in there is for us to what? Obey and follow, apply it into our lives. How can we obey what we don't know? Many Christians are missing God's very best for their life and possibly eternal life. Yes, I lost somebody. There are a lot of Christians going to hell because there is no proper teaching or relationship about true repentance in the kingdom of God. You don't just come to church and play lip service to God. This is not why we do church. A lifestyle of a follower of Jesus Christ is according to the word of God. Instead, many are living as what? Half-hearted, confused, frustrated, and carnal believers rather than true disciples of Jesus Christ. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? I'm speaking to myself as well. This is all a challenge for all us, including all pastors and leaders in this church. Hallelujah. These are the things that you have in Christ Jesus when you become a person that obeys his word. Rest. He promised you rest. Papa Joe shared this morning in communion about resting in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He promised you what? Contentment. Be content with what you have. What is blessed you with. Be content with that. Do not covet over things of the world. The world runs after all that stuff. Whatever you have today, be content with it. Hallelujah. Utilize it to give glory to him. And all that shall be added unto you. Everything that you seek his kingdom first. Hallelujah. Peace, he promises you peace. Shalom, peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything restored, made whole, well, and complete. Hallelujah. This one word, shalom, is exactly that. Everything, nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything is restored, made whole, well, and complete in Jesus' name. Shalom, peace. That's Jesus. He promised that. Divine provision. Everything that you want and need to sustain yourself for life is provided for you when you're a person that abides and walk according to the principles of the kingdom of God. Freedom from sin and bondage and all this stuff that you're so caught up with. You are free and set free when you're a person that walks according to his word and apply his word into your life. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. Joy. Hallelujah. Somebody said joy. The joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. Our strength. There's no other joy that comes except by the power of the Holy Spirit. He brings that joy that's so much in our life that it gives us what? Strength. He promised that when you're a person that abides by the word of God. And then he says fruit. Fruit in the kingdom of God. You bear much fruit. How do people know that you're a true follower of Jesus Christ? By the fruits that you bear in the kingdom. You shall know them by their fruits. I said before, you cannot play lip service to God and pretend to be a Christian. No. Today is a day where we're going to separate us from all that and become true believers and true followers of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. See, if Christ sees your sincere effort in following his ways, he will empower you and by his grace get you to finish everything. He said, I will finish the good work that I've started in your life. That's what's going to happen to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says, examine yourself as to whether you are in faith. Good question. Examine yourself. Am I a true follower of Christ? Am I doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing, that Jesus has commanded me to do? It says, examine yourself as to whether you are in faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says in Romans 8:11, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells bodily inside of you. Hallelujah. Therefore, the Bible says, and the same Spirit will give you what? Life, and life abundantly. You don't wait till you die to get life. You can have life right now, right here, today. Life to the fullest. Why? Because you're a person that applies the Word of God in your life. Hallelujah. He says you have Christ in you, unless indeed you are what? Disqualified. Scripture calls for self-examination and testing of our faith in God. Ask these questions that I gave you before I preached. These questions should be asked every day. Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I truly following Christ? Because you can easily be caught up with something else and then become wayward in the things of God. Hallelujah. Critical questions for Christians to answer. Do I actually know God? Do you know God? Don't answer me. Answer yourself. Ask yourself the question. Do you know God? Do you have a relationship with Him through your prayer? Are you abiding by everything that He says you should? These are simple questions. We want to go for high-powered revelation and some prophecy to really fire us up. The Word of God is so simple. He says, abide in me and I will what? Abide in you. There are multiple verses that speak to this. John chapter 5 verse 20 says, for the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself does. And He will show Him greater works than those that you may have marveled. Hallelujah. John chapter 10 verse 14. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Hallelujah. Jesus knows you. The question is, do you know Jesus? That's the question. I don't care how many years you've been a Christian, how many years you've been in church. Sometimes we have to examine ourselves and say, am I still walking in the place where God wants me to walk? Because the pull of the world, my friends, is like a magnet that will draw you away from the things of God. That's why people backslide, because of the desires for the things of the world. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, it says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to a carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still, what, carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like madmen? These are things that the Bible is asking us. Check ourselves. Are we thinking like the followers of Jesus? Or are we just becoming carnal like the world? It is easy to slip out and become like the world. It's very easy. It's a tough road to follow Christ. Following Christ is not an easy road. God never promised you a bed of roses when you follow Jesus. Jesus never promised you anything. It's going to be tough. It's for those who are truly going to seek God and follow after Him. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit is the one that gives us the revelation about the things of God. He says, may the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The Holy Ghost will teach you about the things of God. He is the counselor. He is the teacher. He is the one that gives you strong conviction that you are on the right path in God. Don't forget to ask questions like this in your everyday life with Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus repeatedly warned that the day would come when many who called them believers will stand before Him at judgment and find out that they never really knew Him. Hello, somebody. Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. He wasn't talking about the world or those who don't know Him. He's talking about those who claim to know Him. He's talking about those who profess to know Him. They worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. These are the kind of things that Jesus is talking about. Just because a person is a pastor, and religious, or because they are now they talk about the Bible and talk about God and Jesus, does that mean that they actually know Him? The world is full of people like that. There are people studying Jesus just like a content or a topic, but never truly have a relationship with Him. Because many study Him as a subject, but sadly never come to Him as a person, to know Him as a Savior. One of the major obstacles in living victorious lives One of the major obstacles in living victorious lives, it's an obstacle in your way. I'm going to give you two, and one of them is this: living in your own strength. Trying to do everything in your own strength. Hallelujah. Let me just give you some principles here. As a disciple, we know we are supposed to strive to enter the narrow gate. Luke chapter 13, verse 24. And so we set out to try and do it on our own strength. Then we wake up one day and feel completely exhausted in our battle against sin. That's why I'm asking questions like that. Are you still battling with things that are not supposed to be in your life? Our striving is killing us. That's why Jesus said, come to me all your what? Keep going. Amen. Thank you, Kevin. There you go. Simple as that. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 29. Come to me, all who are labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am what? Gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Hallelujah. And we go, is that it? Yes, that's it. It's so simple. God never wanted you to be independent of Him. God hates independence. He wants you and I to be dependent on Him. I gave you a illustration about our children. They may not be perfect, but there's a genuine love that they give you every time. God is like that. That's His grace towards you and I. But His grace doesn't allow us to be living sinful lives and still trying to live and abide by His word. If you feel this kind of exhaustion, you can know for sure that you're striving to follow your own self-strength. The greatest evil of religion is that it tries to achieve righteousness apart from the actual relationship with God. What we're talking about today is your relationship with Jesus. We all came out of religion, following somebody, following every kind of rule that they give us. But it kills you spiritually until you receive Christ Jesus and receive the Holy Ghost in your life. I was tired of my life, driving back from a nightclub, drunk, and said, God, I am tired of this life. The moment you start seeking God and calling out and saying, I'm tired of this life, God knew I was searching for Him. I was searching to find Him. And He met me when I went to find Him. Hallelujah. If you have truly trusted Christ as your Savior and have obeyed His commands to repent and you have turned from your sin, He has a place, His Holy Spirit, to live inside of you. Everything we do in church today, it has to be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to the Father except through me. And nobody can come to me except by the power of the Holy Spirit, or God Himself, leading him to me. The Holy Ghost is the power of salvation. Salvation doesn't come from any of your strength except by the power of the Holy Spirit that leads you to Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, you can call me names and use my name as a swear word and curse word and all that stuff. But He said, do not blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Spirit is the power that brings salvation to you. Without Him, you cannot get to Christ. Hallelujah. There are many people that call themselves Christians and do not actually have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. Hello, somebody. Come on, let's deal with some things that are real and facts in church today. We are not here to play around with the lives of people. Your soul is important to God. Those who are watching today, your soul is important to God. God is jealous over your spirit. Jeremiah 1:5 says, I, before you were in your mother's womb, even before your mother even think about you, or your father thought about having children, God says, you were with me. I knew you. Your real, true self is the spirit that God created. Hallelujah. The vessel that you are in now, the earthen vessel, will go down into this ground and be gone. But your spirit lives on through eternity. And God is jealous of that spirit. He wants that spirit back. Are you listening to me, young people? This is a crucial moment for you to receive a message like that that will guide you throughout your life as you complete your school and go into university. Because the world is changing. Everything is changing. They're out to cancel you. You are now the enemy of the world, officially, in the United Nations. They've thought about it for a while. Now they've made it a bill that you and I are now the enemies of the world and what they're trying to establish. Hallelujah. But the Word of God tells me, when sin abounds, oh, hallelujah, grace abounds more. The power of God still operates and functions in the middle of darkness, in the midst of darkness. It says, do not be deceived. If you are really struggling to leave the Christian life, it would be that you are not matured, or because you have not truly been in what? Born again. If you have not given your heart to Jesus, I am begging you today, before you leave this building and go out, give your heart to Christ today. I am begging you, if you've gone away from God, recommit your life to Jesus today. This is not about playing church. This is about your soul that lives through eternity forever. Hallelujah. That's the first miracle that has to happen. Everything else will come after. But your life is more important to God. You have no life. None of us have any life. There's God life and devil life. And you choose which life you're going to live, because you don't have any. You either choose the devil life or you choose God's life. We all choose God's life. Why? Because we live through eternity through God's life. Hallelujah. John chapter 40, or Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. The Holy Ghost comes to you the moment you confess your sin and say, God, I am sorry for everything that I've been doing, my unrighteous life. I come back to you today. The moment you confess your sin before God, the Bible tells me the Holy Ghost comes upon you straight away. You don't have to wait for somebody to come and blow something over you or pray over you, do all that stuff. The moment you confess your sins, the Holy Ghost comes. Hallelujah. Because that's His job. Christ already paid the price. The blood, the communion that we took, the covenant that we did today, that cleansed you already. You just have to make the choice of walking into the kingdom. And the Holy Ghost comes and lives straight away. And He's the one that will teach you and guide you throughout your new walk in Christ. John chapter 3, verse 24. Now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. By this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us. The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He's the one that does everything. Listen, you can shut yourself inside a closet or in your prayer room and pray and ask God to come. Repent from your sins in there, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Hallelujah. When you're tired of the lifestyle that you're living in, when you're tired of all these questions that I've given you before, write them down and ask them yourselves and say, am I really doing this? Should I get away from this right now? The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. His presence and power must be cultivated and continually welcomed by godly living and what? Steadfast faith. Everything we do is by faith. Hallelujah. Once you know that the Spirit is living in you, the secret to avoiding powerless, exhausted walk with Christ is found in John chapter 15. You can read it yourself. God has already given us instructions on how we should live our lives. Hallelujah. To abide in Christ means you are daily renewing your life in His Word, meditating and reflecting on what He is saying, storing His Word in your heart. Your subconscious mind is where everything is. It's a computer that lives there. Not your brain, it's your heart. Bible talks about the innermost being, and that's your heart. That's your subconscious mind. That's the hard drive that keeps everything, whether good or bad. It's all there. Because out of the heart comes what? The tongue speaks, or the mouth speaks. It doesn't come from the brain. Hallelujah. So put God's Word in you. I'm going to finish with the number two obstacles. I gave you some obstacles before when I first started on this message. But I'm going to give you another obstacle, and that is a major obstacle in our life. See, the Bible tells me in Isaiah chapter 6, my people perish because of, not the devil. My Bible tells me my people perish because of the devil. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. Therefore, ignorance is our greatest enemy, not the devil. We keep blaming the devil for everything. The poor guy's had enough now. Just leave him alone for a while. And let's just go back and check our own hearts and our walk with God. The decision that you make, it's your own decision. Devil never came and grabbed your hand, put it in a money bag. Devil never came, picked your hand, put it on a drug. Devil never came, picked up your hand and put it on alcohol and all the other stuff. He didn't get your finger and press it on the computer button to watch pornography. He didn't do that. You did it. The choice you made is your choice. Stop blaming the devil. We can bind and cast him out, but see, if this happens, we should be living powerful lives right now. But there's a principle there why Jesus is showing us. And so Satan will capitalize on our ignorance and using his strategies. Let me give you some strategies. And this is for disciple training, so you can go back there and have a look at it. Number one, make some people think he doesn't exist. Number one weapon he uses every time. There's no devil. The moment you think like that, you're in trouble. Make others think that he's behind everything bad. That's a good one. All of us, we want to bind everything when something goes wrong in our life without understanding that God takes us through storms. Every storm you go through, stop and ask God, God, what are you teaching me today? That's the question we should be asking God. Not praying and binding and pulling down all sorts of things. Stop, take a deep breath, take your seatbelts off and your life jacket off, relax, and ask God, God, what are you showing me? Hallelujah. Number three, perverts the truth or blinds us from seeing it. Number four, uses false teachers to preach, in a minute, 99% of untruth, which creates the biggest undetected lie. You know, the devil is smart. He preaches 99% of things that are not true. It makes you believe that it's true. It's only the 1%. It's only those who have the power of the Holy Ghost who can discern things are not right, will discern 1% of that and know something is not right. It doesn't give you the whole thing. It just gives you 99% of truth and one little lie in the middle. Hallelujah. Number five, it makes things that are evil seem good and things that are good to seem evil. It's called perversion. Hallelujah. Number six, uses fear to ensnare people and to prevent them from living a life of faith to please God. Number seven, creating offense between people, which easily leads to a stronghold of unforgiveness and bitterness. That's his greatest weapon ever. If he can get you to live in unforgiveness, he's winning. You and I are struggling to live life here, and he's saying, hey, I just have to sow this little seed, one seed. That's why we must look at God's word and what Jesus is telling us. Number eight, elevates our pride, which is detestable to God. God hates pride, boastful people. Number nine, attacks in our weakest spots on weak moments. When you know your enemy, you will be a danger to him. But there's also those group who wants to bind everything that happens in their lives. But stop and understand, not everything that happens in your life is from the devil. Hello, somebody. Oh, I didn't know that, Pastor. Well, now you know. You want me to give you some scriptures to back it up? I can give it to you. You can write it down. Genesis chapter 12, verse 17. Numbers chapter 11, verse 33. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 15. 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 18. And it goes on and on. I'm just calling it out because you can go back on the podcast, get it and study it. Not everything is from the devil. Okay? The only thing that they have really, see, people like that, the only thing they have left is the joy of the Lord. But to really live victorious life, there's nothing. Regardless of what we may be taught, we can't bind the devil and his demons by saying, I bind you in Jesus' name. And that's the end of the story. Hallelujah. Think about it. If anyone could truly bind the devils, and we could just wrap up the devil business and have a really good life. But the power to destroy the enemy or destroy the devil is what? Resisting his lies through faith of the Word of God. No other way you can defeat the devil except resisting him. And he will flee. Jesus makes it so easy. You don't have to fight. It is not your fight. God fights the battles for you. All you have to do is resist him, go to the Word. Jesus showed us the strategy. He looked at the devil. He says, man cannot live on what? Bread alone, except by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He goes back to the Word. Hallelujah. Do not try to bind and pull down everything with everything you got. Just resist him. A pure heart, listen to me, a pure heart in God is the devil's worst nightmare. If you have pure heart in you, you are a nightmare to the devil. I can tell you this. When you walk in obedience, you are a danger to the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. Simple things that God has given us, yet we want to find some high-powered revelation that we can get to strengthen us in the spirit. No, go back and abide by every word that comes from God. Abide in me and I will what? Abide in you. This is no time to try and find some revelation to change your heart and mind today. Go back to the four Gospels. You know what? Papa Joe and I used to say, you know what? The words in red will do me. Those tiny words in red, they'll do me perfectly. People go and find also doctrines and everything. I'd rather say on what Jesus said. People say, oh, I don't believe in giving. Just shut up. Jesus said, give and it shall be what? Given back unto you. People come up with all sorts of doctrines. I am tired of denominations and doctrines. Let's go back to the Word of God and the Kingdom of God principles that we can live and abide by. Hallelujah. If you don't truly fear God, then you better stop fearing the devil. If you don't have fear of God in your heart and in your life, you better stop fearing the devil. Because he's real. Hallelujah. And so have the fear of God in you, so that it brings in wisdom and how to live your life in victory, victorious living in Jesus Christ. I want to summarize this message this morning by saying, bringing a scripture to you. And it's Luke chapter 8, verse 11 to 15. You know the story of the sower. But I'm just going to bring some key principles and put us in where we are in this picture here, right here. In verse 11, it says, this is the meaning of the parable. After Jesus had spoken the parable, he says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Verse 13, it says, those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy. And when they hear it, they have no root. There's no foundation. They believe for a little while or a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Verse 14, and the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go through or on their way, they are choked by life's worries. That's why Jesus said, why worry about tomorrow? Relax, riches and pleasure, and they do not mature. And verse 15, it says, but the seed, hallelujah, on good soil, stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, hallelujah. Retain is what? Keep the word, and by persevering produces what? Crop. The principles of the seed is powerful. When we become people that retain the word and keep the word and then persevere regardless of what season we're in, the Bible tells me it produces what? Crops. And you start to bear powerful fruits in your life. And the Bible says, and you shall know them by their fruits. You cannot pretend to be a Christian or a follower of Jesus Christ without having the fruits inside your life. Hallelujah. See, my seed and your seed was sown among the thorns. Why? I believe the majority of us are living in a world of materialism. Material things are destroying our lives. That's the most common enemy that we have today, who have received the seed and amongst the thorns, which is all the stuff that you see around you today. Materialism is winning and evidence is overwhelming. But the righteous man, hallelujah. If you are a person of obedience, it's a lonely walk. A righteous man walks alone every day. A righteous woman walks alone every day. You don't accompany people that are not righteous with you. Because walking in holiness and righteousness is tough. A lot of us think, oh, we have to be holy because we have to dress up in some sort of way to look good and be holy. Holiness. Let me just bring that again. I love this word. I love the definition of holiness in Hebrew. It means being one with your word. That's why Jesus said, be holy like my Father in heaven who is holy. He says, just be one with your word. My Father is one with his word. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is the same. He has no ulterior motive. So he said, Jesus said, be like that. Walk like that. What you say, your yes be yes, and your no be no. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Oh, hallelujah. These are all these powerful principles that Jesus gives us. And we reject all that and go find some high-powered revelation. Ooh, the Bible, I just found something in the Bible. That doesn't help you until you become a person of obedience to the Word of God. Hallelujah. I hope that sitting in right now in your spirit, I'm convinced that it does work when we become obedient to the Word of God. Hallelujah. We hear the Word, we retain it through what? Repetition, meditation, and practice. And never give up. Hallelujah. I pray that this church will become a true church of followers of Jesus Christ. Christianity, the name tag was given to you by a pagan. Jesus never asked you to go and make disciples or make Christians out of people or make believers out of people. He said, make disciples out of people. Disciples are what? Disciplined ones that follow commandments of Jesus Christ. Friends, you've heard this message so many times, but today I feel like this is a message that we need to bring again in a different form. Hallelujah. True salvation is evidenced by the word in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 27. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. Answer to your prayer is found in John chapter 15, verse 7. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 to 22. Freedom from sin and addiction. John chapter 8, verse 31 to 36. Sensing his presence. John chapter 14, verse 21 to 23. Knowing him personally. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 to 7. Hallelujah. Feeling loved by him. John chapter 15, verse 10. Having peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Gaining wisdom and understanding. Psalm 111, verse 10. Mark chapter 4, verse 23 to 25. Write really fast. Knowing his will for your life. Psalm 25, verse 12 to 14. Gaining his favor. Hallelujah. Psalm 5, verse 12. Protecting and warning. Psalm 19, verse 11. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. And being fruitful and joyful in the kingdom. John chapter 15, verse 5 to 8. This is for your study. I'm going through this because this is what we're going to be bringing. We try to find all sorts of ways to change people's lives. That's God's job. All you and I have to do is abide by his word. Hallelujah. I'm done. I've released what God wants me to release today. I don't know if it's going to be part 3 or part 4 next week. But I'll see what the Holy Ghost is saying. I want you to stand this morning. And I want you to, if you have never given your heart to Christ, I want to say something to you. If you're watching on live stream today, and you've never given your heart to Jesus, this is the first miracle that has to happen before anything else. Healing and provision and blessing, all that stuff, that's just after the finished work. Salvation is important for us first. Hallelujah. But before I do anything, I want to say a sinner's prayer. I want to lead you to Jesus. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, if you've walked away from Jesus, walked away from your faith, going through some tough situations right now, I want to lead you back to Christ. It's as simple as you confessing your sins to him, coming back to him. Hallelujah. I want you to close your eyes. I want you young people to say this. Mean it with your heart. Say this prayer after me. Close your eyes. Don't look around. Bow your heads. Lift your hands towards God this morning. Hallelujah. If you're in your lounge room this morning, I pray you Just bow your head. Lift your hands before God. Hallelujah. Father God, this is an opportunity for us that you said that no one can come to the Father except through you, Jesus. You're the door. You're the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Lord, I give you thanks. I give you praise. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name.
Lord, I come to you in Jesus' name.
Lord, I'm sorry for my sin.
Lord, I'm sorry for my sin.
And the way that I've turned my back on you.
Why I've turned my back on you.
I come to you now.
I come to you.
And I repent of all my unrighteous life.
I repent of my
life. I turn away from it all now.
Turn away from it all.
And I turn to you. Your word says if I come to you in repentance, that you will forgive all my sin.
You will forgive all my sin.
Lord Yeshua, I come now.
Lord Yeshua, I come.
Thank you for shedding your blood and for dying on the cross to pay the price in full for all my sin. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I receive your blood to wash me and to make me clean from all sin. Jesus, from this day forward, you are my Lord. Lead me and guide me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. So that I can walk with you every day. Thank you for receiving me.
Thank you for receiving me.
And forgiving me. I am washed.
I'm washed.
I am clean.
I'm clean.
I am born again.
I'm born again.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your people. Thank you that you know the hearts of those who have said this prayer today. God, I thank you that, Holy Spirit, you promised that you will come and live in us the moment we say and repent from our sins. God, you've done that today. I sense your presence, oh God, over your people today. And I pray, Father, that you empower those who have said this prayer, that have been needing this prayer, to come back, Lord, to you. God, I thank you. I pray that as they continue to pray, spend time with the Word, fellowshipping with those that will build them up in the things of the kingdom. Pray, Father, that you reveal yourself to them more and more as a relationship builds up between Lord Yeshua, you and the people that have said this prayer. I pray and I give you thanks, give you honor, I give you glory. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen.